Zortman, and welcome to It's Your Agribusiness. It's show number 724 in our original It's Your Business series. This is all about agriculture today. We continue to find ways to not only talk about agriculture on the farms, in the feedlots, or on the tractor, but for the consumer. Our show is podcast by the well-known farmer, consumer, processor of food, Mark Brown. But let's get right to it. Rick Shields is our Midwest Communication Farm Director. And before he left for what he said was the pyramids, he left us this Midwest report.
Well, Bill, you sure can't say those government reports recently haven't been shaking up the markets. That was the case Friday. It's a big crop, even a record crop on the way from the corn and soybean fields of America this year. Now, that's a word from USDA, and what's more, most of those acres are in good to excellent shape. Now, don't expect any more heat stress for the rest of this week. Far from it. Readings should drop for a couple of days behind a push of northwest Canadian air toward the growing areas, Dakotas, and every place else across the Midwest, and more showers. The adage that rain makes grain seems never to have been quoted more often than it is this year. And with that in mind, traders are looking for record crops and at the same time climbing stockpiles. Now, storage supplies are beginning to run low in North Dakota due to rail delays over the past season, making it still difficult to move out last season's supply. Chicago's soybean futures have been down, listen to this, 9 straight sessions on the Board of Trade, and some market watchers indicate they may fall further yet. Meantime, rising supplies are going to be cutting feed costs for producers of poultry, hogs, and cattle, and that should make it easy to increase beef production after wholesale beef and pork prices recently reached record highs. And also, if May Congress moves against EPA's perceived overreach, a House subcommittee approved legislation last week to cut EPA's funding 9% while stopping the agency from finishing carbon pollution regulations for power plants. Appropriations Chair Hal Rogers, he's from Kentucky, he says there's been no agency more unresponsive to inquiries of Congress regarding spending than EPA has. And with that, have yourself a great day, and look forward to joining you again with more in the morning and afternoon.
Rick Shields, our Midwest Communication Farm Director, and it's all about what we can do in the good old summertime. Matt Knipling at the iGrow.org SDSU Center joins us for information on just what's trending. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning, Bill.
So what is trending?
Well, you know, this week on iGrow.org, just a few of the many articles that we're talking about is going to be like the 2014 South Dakota crop production numbers and where we are compared to the other years. Some summer lawn care tips, you know, just dealing with weeds and water and keeping the mowing going. We're talking about the Rockets to the Rescue part of the as part of the National 4-H Youth Science Day, which is going to be on October 8th. Simplifying winter and spring wheat variety selection. And then some of the events that we have coming up around the state are the Walworth County Field Tours on July 15th. We have some food preservation classes in Peer and in Chamberlain. We have the 2014 State 4-H Livestock Judging Contest in Huron on July 25th. We're going to have achievement days are going to be starting up here before we know it. So you're going to want to watch iGrow.org for more information because we'll be posting information as soon as we get it.
All right. And people can always go to iGrow.org for any of that information. You guys are working all across our state, taking care of those duties. And I guess they can probably even talk back to you.
Yeah, they can.
All right. Matt Knipling, and we'll be checking in a bit later on with a young lady that's going to talk about 4-H Achievement Days. But let's go across the state, check the State Department of Agriculture desk. Candy Briley is actually at the state fair. Candy, good morning.
Good morning, Bill. How are you?
You know, I know one of the events you and I talked about was that Red Power event. Now we've seen some figures that have come out. How successful was that? And, of course, Red Power dealt with red tractors.
Absolutely. The Red Power Roundup we held on June 26th through the 28th out here in the fairgrounds, was extremely successful event for us. Our attendance ended up coming in at 18,626 people over the course of those days. We had visitors from 45 states and 7 countries attending the roundup. We had 904 exhibits displayed on the fairgrounds, and you kind of touched on what the show was. It was a celebration for people from all around the world to gather to see the history of International Harvester and ag-related memorabilia. So we had a lot of people out here, and we were extremely happy to show people what the fairgrounds has to offer as well as our state.
You know, you are at the state fair today, state fairgrounds?
Yes.
All right. So how far away are we, and what kind of planning do you do this far out?
Well, right this morning, I'm currently working on putting together our state fair schedule. Our event guide will begin being produced this week. And we did launch a brand new state fair website, sdstatefair.com. And it has a countdown on there to the days until the fair. And so as I look at the website, we are 44 days, 20 hours, and 47 minutes away from the state fair. So it's quickly approaching. We're finalizing some of our entertainment plans for our free stages. The vendors continue to come in and get settled, taking care of camper requests and things like that. So it's very busy in the state fair office.
The backdrop, too, is a new building that's going to be out there. What's the timetable on it?
Yes, we are currently in the midst of a capital campaign through our state fair foundation. We're looking to begin break ground on that next year. Right now, we're at $2.66 million raised on that, so that's going very good. A recent donation that we had was from First National Bank, and they had given $50,000 to the capital campaign on that. And later today, we look forward to announcing another $100,000 gift giver to that campaign.
Well, the bottom line to that is it's going to be more comfortable. There can be more events. And South Dakota, with the state fair, is going to join whatever century we're in.
Absolutely. That building is going to be a fantastic addition to the fairgrounds. It's over 40,000 square feet building. And the open clear span space that we'll have available for exhibitors and different events will be in the upper 30,000. So we look forward to that and seeing what events we can hold in the off season and then bringing 4-H together during the state fair under one roof.
Candy Briley, we appreciate you taking time and get that fairgrounds ready. How much time is it before it opens?
Well, right now, let me pop back up to our state fair website. And right now, we're 44 days, 20 hours, 45 minutes, and 48 seconds, as I say it.
And counting. Candy, thanks for joining us this morning.
All right. Thank you.
Well, they're on the road again today. Roger and Travis Starks, they're in Nebraska. More meetings, but these guys from Holt McDowell, the sponsors of the iGrow.org, have their eyes and ears focused and on in so many ways. Some concerns, guys, about the ag economy, but you guys are among them in Minnesota, the Dakotas, and Nebraska today. What are you hearing?
Well, good morning, Bill. This is Travis. It's been a little while since we had a chance to talk to you, so we've been jonesing. I'm glad we finally got you on the radio.
Well, I'm glad you're with us, too. But the concern that we talked about as we prepared was that there is a fear out there about corn going below the $3 mark.
Oh, I think it's always a function of the market. And, you know, if you plant it from one row to the other and every inch, what's going to happen? And, you know, we got Africa involved. We got a world market now. And everybody always wanted. We just wanted to be the seller and not, you know, we didn't want anybody else to be the seller.
And now as we see some of those countries come more into the 21st century as it relates to infrastructure and transportation, they're able to get their commodities to market and compete with us.
We were in North Dakota and we were at a meeting where there were farmers there that are farming in the Ukraine as well as in North Dakota.
Amazing.
So, yeah, it's a worldwide market. And again, I can remember when everybody wanted that. And so now what you wish for, sometimes you hope you don't get.
grain cars. You guys are reading and hearing what we are, but you've had the chance to actually visit with a rep or two from BNSF about getting the grain on the rails again.
Yeah, and there's a problem with people, the way it sounds. You know, now they're getting the cars there, but obviously they don't have enough people to pull them, and it's sitting there. And there was a meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota last week that I think some veins in people's necks stuck out like ukulele strings because there were still some issues. And if it goes away now for a while, it probably doesn't mean it's going to go away forever. It means that it's just gone away for the time being. So there needs to be a better answer, and I don't know what that is, but there's a lot of despair there, yeah.
I think what we have to do is keep asking, see if we can get something
done. It's kind of amazing. And when you have five kids, the one that seems to scream the most gets the most attention, and maybe that's what we have to do is, you know, we can't just be over a flyover part of the country. We have to be a significant to everybody, and they need to understand that the Midwest or the plains here isn't just a flyover part of the United States.
Well, and you know, the big competition has been with oil and trying to get those rail cars and the track time. Now there's more talk of a new pipeline coming through South Dakota and how that will hopefully ease some of the traffic on the tracks. But again, that's one of the things that people need to be made aware of, you know, how safe those pipelines are compared to transportation on the highways. So it's just one of those things people need to make sure they stay educated on and make sure and spread that information as they get it.
Instead of Kellogg's having plants in Michigan and Pennsylvania, maybe we should find a way to put them here. Put a processor here so that we're hauling post-toasties in boxes and instead of grain cars.
There you go. The Starks. Holt McDowell, you're on the road in Nebraska, but you also have a Holt University.
Absolutely. You go to holtmcdowell.com, and we do have a plethora. I had my vocabulary.
That's a lot, Bill. That means a lot.
I had my vocabulary toilet paper out in full force this morning. So we have a plethora of different courses and classes. We're always willing to take input from other individuals as to what they want to see. One of the hot topics, again, is the EPA and the way that they are policing some of the water on properties. So those are one of the things that we're working on with the EPA to put together a seminar and webinar for people to watch and get some information from.
Roger and Travis Starks, Holt McDowell, they're on the road in Nebraska today. They pulled off to the side of the road with a Batmobile. We hope that you're not causing any problems out there, but always appreciate the chance to visit with you guys.
We couldn't cause a stir in Nebraska. We're not capable.
There you go. All right, guys, safe travels.
Thank you.
Rocky Boer, Plains Commerce Bank, joins us. Rocky, good morning to you. We've been talking last couple of weeks with Roger and Luke over in Mitchell. What's new from your desk?
Well, Bill, long time no talk. Just mostly crop conditions. Crop conditions in my travels look good, favorable most everywhere I've been traveling so far. There are some areas where you see some drowned out, but looks good. Had a trip to Oklahoma for the granddaughter's birthday, and all the way from southern Kansas all the way to Mound City, Missouri, it looked excellent. And same way all the way up, the tough area was around Omaha where they took that vicious hailstorm that went through there.
We always like to talk with you about the coverage that people have, the floods, the commodities, and how it affects loan values.
Oh, the switch in the commodity price on corn will definitely present its challenges this coming fall.
So you have an event in Mitchell that's now just about a month away. Tell us about that.
Yeah, we will be, again, participating in Dakota Fest, and we invite everyone to stop by and see us. Don't quite know if we're going to have back the money booth this year or not, but I think we will. So we sure invite everyone to stop by and see us there.
Free samples on money. That's a great deal from yeah. Any bank. How do listeners reach you guys at Plains Commerce?
They can catch me at 605-275-2467, or they catch us at plainscommerce.com.
Rocky Boer, we always appreciate the chance to visit with you. And who do we get next week?
Next week, I think you're back with Roger.
Okay, so you...
I'm back on grandpa duty next week, so...
One and done. You're taking care of the grandkids. Not a bad thing to do.
You take care, Bill.
Thanks, Rocky. 4-H'ers are busy. It's been a while since we checked in with the important agriculture community circle. Audrey Ryder is joining us. She's up by Skype this morning at SDSU. Audrey, good morning.
Good morning.
As we talk with you a little bit, and you might check the level of the mic there, Matt, if you will. It sounds like the mic may not be as strong as we want it to be. We'll change mics as we go. What's nice about Skype, you can watch them actually make the change. So as we're talking about this, you've got a long list of 4-H achievement days, which means that fairs can't be far behind.
Nope. We have a lot of achievement days coming up. They start normally about the last week of July, and they run through the middle of August. The majority of them are about that first week in August, and some of them are held during the fairs, like Brown County Fair has all of their 4-H exhibits and kids out there showing during the Brown County Fair, as well as the Sioux Empire Fair. So,
you know, I'm looking at your number, and we see 9,000 young people involved in 4-H programming through South Dakota.
Yep.
And they're not just doing those farm projects, they're doing far more.
Yes, they do a lot of different projects. Some exciting new projects we've had is Robotics Challenge, where kids interested in doing the Lego Mindstorm robotics kits, they put those together. We have a lot of kids doing photography. That is a huge project area. Just lots of different areas. It's not just livestock. You might hear the phrase, it's not just cows and cookies anymore. So there's a lot of different types of projects kids love to do. Posters, displays, the science projects, wood projects. So lots of different things, and they'll have them all displayed at the achievement days and county fairs. So it's kind of fun to go see all those different projects that the kids have done throughout the year.
Audrey Ryder with us this morning by Skype from SDSU. 4-H, a project that, you know, I was a part of when I was a kid. We had livestock and we had corn. We had a few things that we could do. But I think we've all learned through the years, whether it was Iowa like I was in or Nebraska where the Starks are this morning or Minnesota that's listening, that we need to reach out so that everybody understands agriculture, and 4-H is a great vehicle for the young people.
Yep. There's lots of different things for kids to do, and it shows off both agriculture and just the youth of our state and what they can produce and what they enjoy doing.
All right. We're visiting with Audrey Ryder this morning. What else do you do to get ready the other time of the year? You don't just have one month that you're busy, because I know Matt's always talking about how busy you are.
No, I'm in charge of all the state 4-H events. So next week is our big state 4-H horse show in Huron at the state fairgrounds again. And that's what we've been planning for a couple months now. And then as soon as that gets done, it's into the state fair. And the kids qualify for state fair from these county achievement days and county fairs. If they receive a purple ribbon, they can bring their livestock or up to two exhibits to the state fair to be judged and displayed at the state fair. And so we're busily preparing for that and getting ready for that exciting time. And the rest of the year is just getting new projects advertised, getting kids excited about some new things. Throughout the year, we have lots of different events and things going on for 4-H'ers and families. So
people have questions, Audrey, how do they reach you?
They can contact us at the State 4-H office. Our number here at the State 4-H office is 688-4167. There's a lot of the materials if you go on igrow.org. We have a state fair page and basically a 4-H community that has all the information and information for new families if you're wondering what to do and things like that. And then if they also have questions, they can email me at audrey.ryder@sdstate.edu.
All right. And as we get closer to the state fair, let's visit again.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Back into the studio we come with two guys that have been looking across the desk, enjoying all the topics this morning. They call him The Rock. Rock Nelson provides an ag corner for us to learn from. And each week we walk away saying, gee, I didn't know that. Rock, what are we going to walk away today saying?
Good morning, Bill. Thanks for having us. My guest today is Quentin Onnerman, who is Vice President of International Operations of Great Plains Processing over in Luverne, Minnesota.
So our theme through this whole thing, as you set it up for Quentin, has been there's a lot of topics that people probably don't know that what we do in South Dakota, in Minnesota, provide all kinds of food from what we do with the sweat of our laborers here in our state.
That's the truth. And exporting plays an important function as far as helping our economy. And it's surprising as to what extent companies are manufacturing companies that they exist in this region. It's shocking because most of them are well-kept secrets, such as Quentin's firm.
Quentin, we're going to get into the background, but for the people that are just joining, they say, okay, what is the history here? How many countries are we dealing with, and what are we dealing with them in? What kind of products are going to these countries?
Well, we deal with 32 different countries right now. We, you know, we ship to Asia, Europe, South America, basically all over the world. And where we ship, what we ship to the those countries is an organic trace mineral. It's called a chelate. What that does is help the animals optimize the existing food that they're eating. So basically, everything doesn't come out the rear end. It's fed to ruminants, bovine, ovine, companion animals, aquaculture, broilers, deer farms, you name it.
So, I know we're getting the cart ahead of the horse here with the history, but I think people want to know how you got starting in exporting and the customer requirements, market demands that you have with these, because that kind of helps go past the story that started in 2000.
Yeah, and we started in 2000. We work in an existing building that Land O'Lakes opened in 1961. They owned it all the way up to 2000. And a little bit of history there. Steve Fiedler managed many different plants for Land O'Lakes, and Laverne happened to be one of those. The Laverne facility was always number one with quality, always number one with productivity. His manager came to a point and said, well, we're combining efforts here. We're going to close the plant. Well, Steve refused to close the plant. And he came back a couple weeks later and said, well, you know, Steve, we need to close this plant. And he refused again. Well, the third time around, he said, well, Steve, either close it or you buy it. Well, and Steve bought it. And thus, Great Plains Processing came alive at that point.
Rock, when we hear this story, how does this fit in with the other stories that we've told in the last 6 weeks?
This fits in the fact that a small company makes good and helps the economy not of only of Laverne, but the economy in the surrounding region. Because those people, Quentin himself, by the way, Quentin, how many employees do you have on hand right now?
17.
And he's had to hire a couple more, and probably he'll have to be hiring more. And what it does is it creates a demand for product overseas from these buyers. And he had shared with me prior to our coming in the studio that his buyers overseas are now starting to pick up speed. Instead of purchasing an ocean container once every period, they're starting to double up and triple up and get more product going out of his plant overseas as well as domestic sales.
You know, we talk about this, and it makes me wonder how unusual it is that Sioux Falls has all the opportunities we have in international trade. Is this common in other parts of the Middle West, or have we got a leg up in some areas?
I think we have a leg up in some areas. It is common, but we have a leg up, thank goodness, because we have I-90 and I-29 and a good population base to work from, as well as our good, solid work ethic.
We want you guys to stick around, if you will, a little bit. We got some other bit we got to talk, but I want to get more into this as to the importance of doing the business that you do, Quentin. Why is it important? Who else might be able to do some international trade business as well? And I'm sure you've got some ideas with people you've talked to, the markets you talk to, and we'll take that up after we take a break. Go to Fox Business News on the half hour. Agribusiness Show. It's show number 724 this morning, part of our original It's Your Business series. And we're going to check some of the numbers of the morning. Craig Marquardt is the senior loan officer at Advanta Mortgage. Craig, good morning to you.
Good morning, Bill.
Well, Jim was in as we did the report card in the last hour, and we're hearing some very positive numbers on the interest side. So what are we seeing on your loan snapshot on this very morning?
Well, interest rates are improving behind the scenes, and we are going to see some interest rates go down, I think, throughout the week. But right now, the conventional Fannie Mae 30-year fixed rate is at 4.250%. that has an APR of 4.443. And like I was expecting last week when I talked to you on Friday, I think it's going to drop down just a touch throughout the week. So if anybody wanted to hold off on locking their interest rate, they might be able to catch just an even slightly lower interest rate.
And we always remind people that the figure that you quote is just one of the products that you have. People need to sort out. They need to talk to a loan originator, supervisor of a loan originator, whatever it takes to get the best deal they can, because they may never make a bigger purchase.
Yeah, interest rates are always subject to change, and they're always based on the current market as well as the specific loan program. Different loan programs have different interest rates. You know, when you're talking the Veterans Administration loan, that has a completely different interest rate than the conventional loan that you and I quote here every week.
All right. In hour one, we talked about a very solid 2014 in building and real estate sales following a record year in 2013. What are your clients telling you? What are they asking you right now?
Well, my clients are asking me right now, they're asking what my prediction is for interest rates going into September and October, because we have got a very large percentage of new construction clients right now, and they're in the middle of building, and they're trying to decide if they should look at locking for an extended period of time, such as 90 days, or if they should just hold off. And in situations like this week, I'm just telling them to hold off because the market's been pretty flat, and there's no reason to go ahead and lock an interest rate in. If the rates happen to drop, we can catch it at a later date. So, and also, I think that, Bill, you'd probably agree that the market is equally as good as it is in 2013, and I was looking at my numbers for the first half of the year, and we are right in line where we were last year. And so I think that 2014 is going to be a strong end-of-the-year showing, because 2013 wasn't quite as a strong fourth quarter, but I think 2014 is going to have a strong fourth quarter.
All right. How do people reach you?
They can give us a call at 275-2777, or they can check us all out online at www.advanamortgage.com, or they can apply there, or even simply post a question and we can get it answered for them.
Craig Marquardt, Senior Loan Officer at Vanna Mortgage. At Vanna Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. We'll talk to you later in the week.
Thanks, Bill.
Scott Verlich, Coima Kameg Commodities, joins us out of Sioux Center. Scott, good morning to you. Did we lose Scott?
I'm still here. Still here.
There, he's checking the late commodity wire. I'll bet that's the case. 11:30, you'll have the full commodity update on News Talk 1320, 1079. And there are a couple of things that are trending this morning, and one of those has to be that grain report that came out just after we talked Friday morning.
Yeah, it was the monthly grain report from the USDA. We honed in on the ending stocks a little bit, and they kind of start projecting some yield numbers. Now, how the reaction was, it was all a little bit bearish on all of the grains. It showed a little bit more ending stocks on the corn and the soybeans. It was kind of bearish on the old crop beans. And everybody's kind of talking about the corn yield, I guess, is the buzz this morning. The USDA left that number the same at 165. For an average for bushels per acre, and there's a significant amount of the traders that think 168 is more realistic, 169, and there's more and more people believing that we're over 170 on that average yield. So that's another part of the reason why we're still heading lower. They're worried that the USDA doesn't have enough yield priced in there, and that this crop is even bigger than what the USDA has pegged in. So it's going to be tough to get these, for sure the corn to rally. With that kind of news looming and more rains in the forecast, soybeans, they've had a pretty big break. I mean, they've rallied for 4 or 5 months, and then they took it back in about 2 weeks. They're kind of at a level where there's probably more risk to the downside in the soybeans than the corn. For a little support level, 980 is the next level we're looking at on the low side for the November beans. So that is another dollar risk, that's for sure there.
Also some volatility in meat.
The livestock, especially in the cattle, have started a pretty good sell-off. We had reached some pretty high levels, and it kind of had the attitude that it was just not going to stop. We were just straight up. We were talking 160 cash cattle was pretty much in the bag, like it was a slam dunk before it even really happened. So then the market starts turning. heads limit down one day, and then everybody starts to get a little nervous, and there's a lot of funds that are along this board. The funds that took them a long time to get in it, and it's not going to just take them a couple days to get out, so we're down another $1.50 today, and we're off about $12 on the feeder calves and about $10 on the live cattle, so some pretty significant sell-offs, and now we're wondering where we're going to hold. I think we can hold somewhere down in here to find a little bottom side to form a trading range, and I'm just nervous, sitting on my hands a little bit, thinking that we might not quite be there yet, so there'll be possibly some more liquidation yet to happen.
Well, if you'll take your hands up and talk to people, how do they reach you?
Give us a phone call, 1-800-358-3047.
And online?
Yeah, you can check us out, coinmechanic.com. You can also follow us on Twitter, some of the brokers here. You can find me on Twitter, Scott Varlick. Find a few comments there. It's kind of a new up-and-coming thing for traders.
Imagine that. Scott Varlick, Coy McCamig Commodities. We'll listen in at 11:30 this morning. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Phil.
Yeah. All right. Rock Nelson is in our studio along with Quentin, the Vice President of International Operations, the Great Plains Processing in Luverne, Minnesota. We have just a couple of more minutes here to kind of explain why this is important. And Rock, for those that might just be joining us, why would you say talking about products that are leaving South Dakota, Minnesota for 32 countries would be important to what happens in our area?
During the economy turndown in 2008, there were considerable amount of businesses that either closed their doors or got very concerned that they were going to have to cut back and were forced to cut back. Some businesses were able to maintain their economic input and their balance sheets by having exported. I think Quinton's firm is one of those where it flatlined out thanks to exporting. And exporting has saved the bacon of a number of companies within our region during the economy turndown.
So we've talked this morning about real estate. It's been a good first half of this year. We look for the next half to be pretty good with all the numbers that we're getting on interest rates and everything else. What do you see for your industry?
Our industry is growing phenomenally. You know, the increase in our business this year is at about a 40% click. You know, we're doing exceptionally well. Our exports are doing exceptionally well. We used to be 60% domestic, 40% international. Now I can, you know, say that we're easily 60% international and 40% domestic. You know, our international exports have just grown tremendously. And, you know, to piggyback what Rock said here also, we flatlined in 2008, 2009, and our domestic sales dropped significantly, but our South America and Asia sales grew by about 30, 40% to help offset that.
And I think you said that some of your competitors had to close their doors during that period of time?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
So, you're bullish on this, Rock?
Absolutely, 110%.
And it's interesting that you do what a lot of people do. They live in South Dakota, but they actually work in another state. Sometimes people do it the other way around, but it's a nice climate that South Dakota has for the very reason that's obvious. So, I'm getting no reaction. The tax man must be out there listening this morning. But I think people understand. There is a value to being a business in South Dakota.
Absolutely.
As well as living here. And the business that's just, 25 miles?
25 miles. It's morning commute.
You know that drive?
Yeah. Oh, I know it exceptionally well. Last 7 years.
Well, it's another great story.
Yep.
Are we out of stories yet on
international
trade?
Absolutely. I've got more to come. I've got people standing in the wings that are waiting to come on the air.
Quentin, we appreciate you taking time this morning. I think it's been a great chapter to add. This will be on podcast. Brownie will have it up within 24 hours so people can go listen. And you can share with other people what we talked about on It's Your Agribusiness.
I wanted to give a shout-out to Quentin's two young daughters, Maddie and Maisie, as well as his wife, Mary, that are listening to this.
Good. We appreciate that.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thank you.
When we come back, we're going to talk peaches. South Dakota's going to have a peach festival. It's all a part of agribusiness in this Monday in July.
For years, Hartford, South Dakota has been proclaimed with punch, we're on the edge of everything. Its citizens and community pride has put us in that proud position today.
Hi, I'm Lynae Rudinius, chair of the Hartford Area Chamber. Our business of the month is Medicap Pharmacy, Vince Riley. This modern pharmacy is just one of several professional services in Hartford. Volunteer of the month is Crystal Schroeder, a very, very, very German lady, a 10-year volunteer for the Hartford Library. This
has everything you need. Sunshine Grocery, professional services, Great Life Golf, and the new WOW Entertainment and Fireside. And the Hartford Electronic Newspaper is at the hartfordnews.info. Hartford's a great place to live, work, and play. Click hartfordareachamber.com or call our development director for detailing.
Go ahead, Bill. It's that time again.
Hartford, South Dakota, on the edge of everything. Back at Advanta Mortgage with Jim Lowe. Jim, why should I use Advanta Mortgage?
At Advanta Mortgage, we specialize just in mortgage loans. At Advanta Mortgage, we process and underwrite our own loans here in Sioux Falls. We have loan officers on call 18 hours a day, 7 days a week. Our interest rates are very competitive.
Apply online at AdvantaMortgage.com, 275-2777, NMLS number 162-291. What is Advanta Mortgage's mission statement?
Advanta Mortgage emphasizes the highest professional standard of mortgage lending, priding ourselves on our integrity, honesty, character, and competency, knowledge, and communication. Advanta Mortgage has a passion for serving customers and will strive to become the strongest and best mortgage lender in the market.
Stop by our new location at 57th at the Bridges, 57th and Western, or call 275-2777. Take the first step. Visit us at AdvantaMortgage.com. Advanta Mortgage, mortgage bankers you can count on. An equal housing opportunity lender.
Rush Limbaugh, weekdays 11 to 2. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
Welcome back to It's Your Agribusiness. One of the things that we get to talk about in the show is food. Imagine that. Agriculture and food, do they go together, Lynn?
They do.
All right. This is Lynn Albers, and you have a big event that's coming up on Saturday the 26th, Sunday the 27th, and first time to have this go around.
It is. The South Dakota Peach Festival, first year.
All right. So why is this important to South Dakota, and who's going to want to enjoy peaches from Georgia?
This is an event for everyone. You don't even have to like peaches to come out. We'll have giant inflatables for the kids, a lot of games for all ages, different contests, and just a lot of fun.
Now, it's at Yankton Trail Park.
It is.
And I'm seeing 8:30 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Saturday and 11 to 5 on Sunday. No admission. There's bands and entertainment. And you were looking at Rev this morning, and he was saying, how do you do this? And you were saying, Rev, how do you do this every day?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah, it is a lot to put this together, but we've had a great time and just great support from the community in doing this. And we're very excited to team up with Special Olympics South Dakota to raise money for their Building Unity campaign. So they've been a great part of this, and We're looking forward to a fun weekend.
We're about 11 days out.
Yes.
But there are some peaches in town, and you've had some orders taken, and you're delivering peaches.
Not in Sioux Falls. The Fruit Club delivers in 9 states. So our peach deliveries have started in other states, but we're saving the best till last, and that's Sioux Falls, South Dakota. We'll be bringing in fresh truckloads of peaches from Georgia, and specifically for the festival, and for people that have ordered in advance can pick their peaches up there. And even if you haven't ordered, you're welcome to come out. We'll have plenty of peaches for everyone.
Lynn Albers talking about the first peach festival in South Dakota coming up on the 26th and the 27th. Why Georgia peaches?
We just think that they're the best. They're the most popular peach, in our opinion. We have toured our orchard in Georgia, and just the soil, it's perfect growing conditions. There's kind of a red clay soil that their peaches are grown in, and it just makes for a really juicy, delicious, flavorful peach. They're excellent.
There are places that you could go, but the Georgia peach is well known. They have advertised that very well, and if you haven't traveled in Georgia, you'll go down the the highways, and you'll see a peach, which has a different shape when you see it as a fruit hanging over a billboard.
Oh, absolutely.
And people kind of say, what is that? Well, that's our peaches. And we're very proud of those.
Yes.
You have a website.
We do. It's SouthDakotaPeachFestival.com. That's all spelled out. You can reserve your peaches there. Or you can go to our Fruit Club website, thefruitclub.net. The Peach Festival is being brought by the Fruit Club.
That makes sense.
Right.
Now, you have a peach dessert contest.
We do.
Is that for creativity? Obviously, you wouldn't use a peach that you just grew in your backyard. This would have to be a very delicious peach, right?
You would definitely want to get some delicious peaches for this. But it's as long as peaches are included in the recipe, any kind of dessert. Your favorite dessert that grandma used to make or that you've created yourself, the possibilities are endless.
Now, there are some shuttle buses that are going to be involved.
Yes.
You want to kind of mention some of the travel to make sure that people can get in and out and they don't have problems.
Yep. Of course, there is parking around Yankton Trail Park. There's also, it's connected to the bike trail, so people can come in that way. Or we will have shuttle buses at Lincoln High School. And I believe Roosevelt. I think I'm getting
it. It also shows O'Gorman as well.
Possibly O'Gorman.
Yeah, I'm seeing the three high schools. Washington feels a little left out, but they're a little further east.
A little bit, yeah.
Than what they need.
Yeah, we love Washington High School, too.
I know. You want the Washington people to show up with their orange for that particular day. Why? Why did this come about? You know, and why not before?
Well, every state has a peach festival. If you look up peach festivals in the United States, almost every state is listed except for the Midwest. And in talking to our orchard in Georgia, they said, hey, you know, change this. And we thought, well, you know what? It's something fun. We did fly to Georgia and went to their peach festival. It was just a lot of fun, a real community feel. We decided to bring it to South Dakota, partly to, of course, help Special Olympics South Dakota, but also to say thank you to all of our loyal customers that have supported the Fruit Club in this last year.
So if people want peaches, do they go to the event? Can they order peaches now? How's the best way for them to take care that they get those peaches maybe canned, maybe ready for the pies, anything else they might do with peaches?
Sure. We do ask that people go online just to reserve a box. You don't pay for anything until you pick it up. But that way, we just get a better idea of how much to bring in, how many truckloads to bring in. But there will be peaches that are available, you know, as soon as people see them. And, of course, they want another box. We'll have those extra peaches there for people. So we're not going to run out.
Rev was asking you, would you do this again? And your hope is that there will be a second Peach Festival.
Oh, and a third and a fourth and a fifth. And, yes, we hope to make this a yearly event.
Now, are you a peach fan?
I am. Actually, I wasn't before we started bringing peaches in. There really is a big difference in freshness. There just is. Our peaches are picked, you know, right before our truck gets there. So by the time that they get to Sioux Falls, they'll have been off the tree for maybe 2 to 3 days.
The event, again, is Saturday the 26th, 8:30 to 10 p.m., and then Sunday the 27th, 11 to 5. It's free admission, bands and entertainment. It's at Yankton Trail Park. And if you want to take the bike path, you can feel free to access on the paths that are connected to Yankton Trail to avoid any parking fee that you might have. And you can park your car at any of the nearby parks and take a walk on the bike trail into the South Dakota Peach Festival. And it is ADA accessible parking as well. And that's important for us as well. 57th and Western is that entrance. Well, Lynn, can't wait. We'll have to try the peaches. I have to tell you that I'm not as big a peach fan as my wife is, but that's her favorite fruit is the peach.
So. Well, you're not a peach fan yet.
But you're going to convert
me. That will change. We'll convert you.
All right. We look forward to it. Thanks for sharing. You know, we've enjoyed this, and we hope people will mark it on their calendar or on their electronic device.
Absolutely.
It's important. When we come back, we're going to set the stage for Rush Limbaugh with the visit to Valentino's 41st and Will. the It's Your Business experts that's well known in the Sioux Falls area is Dakota Radon Mitigation's Mike Austed. Mike is from the Austed family, yes, a part of the A-Team. In addition to doing the radon work in the metro area, recent road trips took him to Artesia, Brookings, Yankton, Milbank, and Viber. His A-Team professionally certified mobile radon mitigation unit reaches all over our listening area.
In eastern South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa, radon gas is a major factor in the homes of our lives. Check the official South Dakota website, sd.gov, and go to the health department to get a radon test kit. A 2011 South Dakota report showed that the average home in South Dakota that does test high for radon is over twice the recommended level. If you need help with a test, whether it be for a house sale, closing, or just concerned about the safety of your family, call Mike Austed, the A-Team, at 201-4704. If you need radon mitigation, I'm right here.
Sean Hannity, weekdays 2 to 5. Kello, News Talk 1320, 107.9.
Interesting show this morning, from peaches to everything involving 4-H.
First annual Peach Festival, that's pretty cool. I mean, that's a big deal, because there's some states where that's like 100 years old or something.
They've been doing it?
Yeah.
I don't know why it took South Dakota so long.
It always takes stuff longer to get up here, Bill.
You know, I hope they have put in South Dakota State ice cream with the peaches. I mean, that would give us the best in South Dakota.
That'd be
the best in Georgia.
Yep.
Anyway, John is at Valentino's, 41st and Willow. Good morning, John.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Well, do you like peaches?
Oh, yes, I love peaches.
That's good. That's good. I know.
We have them on our salad bar, even.
Yep, I know. They're there.
Really?
Yep. Nice big bowl of peaches on ice, Bill.
Well, we probably...
On that salad bar, Bill.
The salad bar, yeah.
That thing that you make such a big deal over, Bill.
Joy and I are working on a contest to give away some tickets. Let people come back and talk about the salad bar. I think it's going to be fun.
I'll do it.
It is. It should be.
All right. Today is Senior Day, though. And
right.
And you guys are going to have a little arrow that point the peaches out.
Yep. Yep.
So when it is Senior Day, what do they get? They get a little bonus?
Well, yeah. All good-looking ones get 10% off the buffet. Everyone's paid doubles. And that's how we pay for the other 10% discount today.
Are you the judge and jury on that?
Yeah, but I haven't found anyone yet, so.
Okay.
Everybody in South Dakota, Minnesota, and Iowa are good looking, so.
Everybody that comes to town, they've been transformed. They are beautiful.
Yes, they are.
That's right.
That's the way we think about it.
Yep.
All right.
Yes.
So we did fish on Friday. You do ribs on, is it Wednesday?
Ribs are Wednesday, Thursday's hot wings, Tuesday's kids' day, where kids 5 and under eat free, and 6 through 10 eat for only $2.99 with each paying adult.
All right, that all makes sense to me. And everything Italian, that's something that I've learned from you for a good period of time.
Yep, it's, let's put it 85% Italian, because you got to throw in that fried chicken, mashed potatoes, and gravy, and corn, and Largo vegetables, and
the salad bar.
Yeah. You got to take care of that Midwestern appetite.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah, there must have been something I missed when I went south for 30 years.
Yeah,
I just never got that taste. But there are a lot of
right.
people.
There are no vegetables down there, are there, Bill?
No,
that's
they're
right.
Not.
Yeah,
peaches,
no veggies
but
at all.
No vegetables. Yep. That makes sense. And you do have a pizza that we'd like to talk about that I got to sample last week. That you got huge remarks and marks from me.
Yep, and that is our barbecue chicken flatbread with the Zortman bacon on top.
That's it. Bring it up.
Yeah,
bring it up.
Zortman bacon on top. Really sets it apart.
Well, Valentino's is a place to go, 41st and Willow. We talk about a lot of new restaurants coming to Sioux Falls. Very few have the years of experience to know exactly what you want as Valentino's. John and Joy, you always take good care of us, and you'll take care of those people that come in your door today.
Yeah, we sure will, Bill.
All right, Senior Day at Valentino's. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Riff, thanks for all your hard work today. We covered a lot of territory.
It was fun. Good time, Bill.
But our time's up. Thank you for yours.